Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you on this first day of a new month. New beginnings in all things. It just seems that it's that way every day now. So we just praise you for that, Father. And we just thank you that you're preparing us perfectly for now and for the days ahead and for conference. And we just thank you that everything is right on schedule. And we just give you all glory and praise and honor for that in Jesus' name. Well, today I'm going to continue on with exhortations from the Father. And again, sharing things that, different words that he shared with me over the years. And it's been a real blessing to me to review this because, as I mentioned earlier, when I received these words, I knew nothing, for the most part. And over the years, God has really expanded these words to me and shown me just how to put them into practice. And so I find that these words are extremely significant in this hour for those people who have yet to enter into the kingdom and who are seeking first the kingdom. And God is preparing us perfectly for great and mighty things that we aren't even able to comprehend at this time. So, you know, as I'm doing this, I believe the desire of the Holy Spirit is to expand the vision that God has given us as far as the glorious church goes, and to reveal various kingdom truths, the absolute truths of the kingdom, so that we can be prepared and understand not only in our own lives what we're to do, but also to discern and judge those things that we encounter along the way as we're led by the Holy Spirit. One thing for sure, we as Christians, Spirit-filled Christians and Spirit-led Christians, should understand all the things that cross our path. It's God's will that we do that, because love understands all things. And that too is a key to not taking offense at the different things the devil throws at us through people and taking offense at flesh and blood. So, you know, once we have that revelation that love understands all things, then we are able to handle the things the devil puts across our path, and not only handle them, but be used to get these various vessels that he uses set free. So I'll just start with the first word, and we'll see where the Holy Spirit takes us. It is time to put an end to the comfort that kills amongst my people. Now this word really strikes at the very root of self, because self wants to forge its own way. Self wants to forge its own security. And those are two extremely dangerous things in this hour, because I can't help but think of the word tsunami, because people can one day be comfortable and secure, whether it's with their money in the bank or whether it's with the different mindsets that through fear they've built up or allowed the devil to form within them. They have this false security, this false peace. And especially in our society, in North America, these types of things can be very easily fall into, this trap. Because outwardly, you know, we can see peace and we can have financial prosperity and so on and so forth. But when God begins to move, and of course it is his desire to expose everything within us and ultimately consume it so that he can replace that with his love and his presence, we know that it's very easy to fall into the trap of forming our own securities. That won't do in this day. And ultimately, God is going to expose everything that has been forged in fear. So when he says it's time to put an end to the comfort that kills, we're talking about a comfort, a false security, a false peace that ultimately ends up in death and darkness and corruption in one's walk. And ultimately kills, if not anything else, definitely the spiritual life within us. So it is extremely important for every Christian to move towards obedience. I mean, to that place of abiding in obedience. I don't want to get ahead of myself because I'm going to be saying a lot about obedience. But the fact is, we need to find our comfort in God. Another name or character of the Holy Spirit is Comforter. And divine comfort, not only is it the best, but it's eternal. And it will continually keep us and lead us in the paths of righteousness. So that's very important, because one path, it seems okay as a quick fix, but its end is the way of death. The other path is to acknowledge God in all our ways, and then he brings us into that divine peace, that divine comfort. That's the peace that passes all understanding. And when you're in that place, you're not going to be influenced by, regardless of what happens outwardly. And we have to be a people that walk by faith and not by sight. A people whose sole authority is on the revealed knowledge of God's word and will, same thing, rather than the circumstances outside. See, there is a way for Christians to shut the attacks of the devil out and watch them time after time after time fall short of their intended goal. You know, we are a people that God has called to obedience. And we need to be a people who have a heart, a deep heart desire to learn in the, from the place of obedience rather than learn from the place of disobedience. Because God is faithful. He's going to cause us to learn and grow. But we need to be a people now who are walking in obedience and learn from that position. That's a much better place. I'm going to talk a bit about obedience. As you continue on in perfect obedience, all those who have taken your part shall be influenced powerfully by the spirit of obedience which rests upon you. Take no thought for any physical circumstances. Only know that in your diligence, all those who cross your path shall surely conform to my will. Now again, I want to explain that when I'm teaching these things, and as God showed them to me, he was preparing me, and I believe as he's preparing all of us, to minister to a people whose hearts are wholly given to do his will. I mean, thank God that there's deliverance for the rebellious, there's deliverance for the unbeliever, non-believer. But right now, you know, as I deal with these words, we're talking about the principles that will begin to work powerfully in the church and will cause people to come into that place of abiding in a perfect obedience. So what he's saying here basically is that as we obey, as we come to that place of abiding in perfect obedience, he's saying that all those who are kindred spirits, all those whose hearts are wholly given to God, will be influenced powerfully by our obedience. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that tonight, because really that's leaning more towards conference. But the fact is that as we obey, we cause various forces to be released through our obedience that bring things into order around us. And we all know that we each have our own sphere of activity, spiritual activity. And these things are very powerful. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the fact that the glorious church will be a church in whom that the presence of God will be unlimited. In other words, he can come and do exactly what he wants to do in any given true spiritual environment. And so as we look at these things, we can begin to understand that those situations that look hopeless right now in the natural are going to come into order by our perfect obedience. Now, I'm not talking about influencing the will of the rebellious and all that. That does happen. I don't mean that. What I'm talking about is that as we simply obey God and move forth in love and seeking to walk in love, seeking first the kingdom, this is one of the effects of our obedience. Look at the effect of Jesus' obedience. It absolutely ratified the entire plan of redemption and sealed it. So, I mean, we can understand that we're going to be doing the same thing as we do that. Again, the scripture comes to mind somewhere. If we labor in love, then we can know that the love that we labor in, the obedience we labor in, is not in vain. It's never in vain. That's very important. That's an absolute truth. Because the devil is continually trying to convince us that what we're doing isn't really accomplishing anything, isn't really bearing any fruit. But again, this is the mark of a people who are not moved by their five physical senses, but rather moved by the revelation that they have from God, acting on that revelation, believing that God will bear maximum fruit through our words and actions. We have to walk that way. That is not a comfortable way for the flesh to walk. The flesh wants to act, it wants to see results, really rooted in the fact it wants to receive glory unto itself. But we are not to be a people that way. Here's another word to those in the Third Day Church. It is your job to receive my message. That can be anything. It can be a message to an individual, a word that he has for you, or somebody ministering from the pulpit. To receive my message and commandment from the throne and deliver it to the place where I direct you and in the time I so choose. This is the mark of kingdom life. The time frame for kingdom life is now and now and now. And it doesn't make any difference as far as time goes, because when we're talking about obedience, when we're talking about fulfilling the word of God, the factor in that is not in faith. It's not time, it's obedience. It's not time. It doesn't make any difference about time. The fullness of time will come, but we shouldn't be concerned with that. And again, you know, if we allow unbelief to govern our walk, then our concept of time is going to be right in the front. In other words, something doesn't happen when we think it should, we're going to think we're not doing the right thing. But ultimately, if we're just walking in faith, then faith and obedience will inherit the promises. And I'll tell you, in this hour, in this the remaining time that we have here, we're going to see a rapid acceleration as we obey and as we proclaim the word of God. We're going to see a rapid acceleration in the results. Why? Because of the exercising of faith in God's faithful people is being refined and it's being perfected, so that we are speaking the word and carrying out the action exactly when God tells us to. And then, of course, God can move forth and bear maximum fruit through us for the church and the kingdom. These are all important. This is why we've gone through the refining process for so many years, because God has a perfect plan for us, and it's always to set us up for success. It's always to set us up to fulfill his perfect purpose and to glorify him to the greatest degree, always. And so that's why if people allow time to enter in, the devil is just going to gnaw away at them until they think, well, they come into discouragement or disheartenment or any other negative attitude. But no, our job is to get the message and the commandment from God in the throne room, in his presence, and then move forth in obedience to the Holy Spirit to carry that out. When you do that continually, and really isn't that what God is wanting to do with all of us? Bring us to the point of abiding in perfect obedience. That's extremely important. We're going to see that. I mean, this is the hour where this revelation is going to explode in the hearts of those who truly love God. And that's what's going to allow them to experience the blessings that God has. And again, you can't get away from talking about blessing. And I think really the reason why God has me mention this is because many people out there, they hear the word blessing, and immediately they get hooked into self and a self-image of what that would be. No, we're blessed to be a blessing. We're empowered to empower. And so it's very important that we have our minds renewed in that area. Like we've said before here, just to experience the residue of God's blessing pouring through you to others is more than sufficient, easily. As a matter of fact, I don't think we could handle any more than the residue of the love that God continues to pour out individually and corporately in the midst of his people. And then he talked a bit about it will take a perfect obedience to tear down any remaining strongholds in the hearts and minds of those with whom you have to do, and which are preventing the full restoration of their life in Christ. I mean, or coming into the place of the fullness of their inheritance in Christ. Again, as we walk in obedience, we may not even know what's going on in many cases, but we will see the fruit of that. We will see the results of that. If not even in this dispensation, certainly at the believer's judgment. And I've shared this before, but it's a very encouraging thing to me. And I've said before that, you know, every ounce of faith and love that's exercised and obedience that's exercised will be shown. You will see the full results of everything you've prayed. And again, if not this side of heaven, certainly at the believer's judgment. So we have no reason to be discouraged. You know, if time's getting in the way, then we need to check ourselves for unbelief. Always remember, my beloved ones, that you owe nothing to any man but to love him. And the way that you fulfill that obligation is to walk in the power of my Spirit and speak the uncompromised truth at all times. Now we maintain the desire to speak the uncompromised truth and speak in love at all times. And God will see to it that we fulfill every obligation on behalf of Him, that we represent Him perfectly, and that we are doing everything and saying everything necessary to set the captives free. That is the theme of the hour, is liberty. And I'm talking about perfect liberty. I'm not talking about being free in 90% of your life. I'm talking 100% freedom. And that's what God's aim is for each and every one of us. See, it's when that begins to happen on an individual basis and a corporate basis that the power of God will flow forth through every holy vessel unhindered to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. He says, as you are obedient in these things, you will surely be found doing what is best for all who cross your path. What a great thing that is. You know, we don't have to sit around and figure out what to say and what to do. We just need to be hooked into God. And then we always have that assurance. I remember in the early years, he would send me, you know, I'd have an opportunity to speak to someone. And at first, you know, the devil would come and he'd start trying to gnaw away at me and say, well, you didn't really say anything that was profound, and that. And then, of course, over a long period of time, God showed me how to lock that in so that if I was in His presence and my heart was filled with an abundance of His word, I knew by faith, regardless of what happened, even if I didn't say anything, I knew that His greatest purpose was accomplished every time. And God taught me that. It took a while. But the fact is, we can have that deep assurance that what we're doing and saying as we walk in obedience to God is for the greatest eternal benefit of the person crossing our path, regardless of what they do or whether it looks like they received or didn't receive. That's it. Seeds, the incorruptible seed of God's word. The Holy Spirit is well able to finish the job as we continue to water that seed with our faith. He says, take no thought for the feelings of men and women. Now we're talking again of the difference between compassion and sympathy. Great and dangerous thing to be sympathetic to those who are in unbelief and in doubt, because all you're doing is solidifying their position, the position the devil wants them in. But when you're willing to walk in love, when you're willing to find out what God wants you to do and you obey Him, then regardless of the way they react, they may even run away from you. Regardless of that, you're going to know that you are doing what is best, and you're going to release the anointing of God into that situation because you chose compassion instead of sympathy. Sympathy is rooted in the fear of man, and it's something that needs to be removed completely from the life of every Christian. For those whose minds are not renewed by the power of my word will surely take offense at those words which you speak to them. Now again, we're talking about the third day anointing. We're talking about absolute truth. We're talking about perfect love. Now you wouldn't think that people would get offended when you speak and act in perfect love. But the reason they do is because they don't know what perfect love is. They have their own concept of what love would mean to them. And so they get offended at the very effort of God to minister to their heart. Now that doesn't mean that some of these people don't have their minds renewed to a certain degree. But I'm talking about people whose minds are renewed right up to the moment. In other words, they've been in a place and they're hearing the absolute truths of God's word. And because of that, they don't know everything. None of us do. But they do understand in the heart. Their heart is sensitive and pure towards the things of God. But I'm talking about people who have maintained fear. And so we have to be prepared because there is going to be a confrontation with that. So he says, they'll surely take offense at those words which you speak to them, but those who are diligent in my word and who have had their minds and emotions renewed will see clearly that you are sent from me. I mean, what a wonderful thing that is. Okay, God sends out the Christian to do something or say something, and these people have an assurance that it's God, not us, but God, that's speaking to them. Well, then if they can understand that, then they're in a position to really receive everything that God is saying and doing through us. On the other hand, if we're called forth into a place where we're meeting the rebellious heart or the hardened heart, it doesn't matter because I think I have a word later on this, but the third day anointing is sufficient to do whatever is necessary to get that thing turned around. Otherwise, the rebellious would have no hope of salvation. of any form of salvation, whether it be the new birth or right through to the fullness of God's inheritance for us in Christ. So you see, God is more powerful than the devil. And of course, we have to believe that and walk in these things. And sometimes it does take time. You know, it's an amazing thing, but if you look at the scripture in 2 Corinthians 12:12, it says that the first sign of a true apostle, and I'm looking at that as the first sign of the apostolic church, a people to whom Christ is all in all, is patience. Why? Because patience, faith and patience work together. It allows God to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And believe me, he's going to get the job done perfectly through us. And not anybody's going to be left out. I mean, the one thing we know for sure, everybody will be brought to the point of absolute decision in one way or another, whether it's in this dispensation or whether it's in the Great Tribulation. I don't, but they're going to have the opportunity. And some will quickly make the decision for themselves, and some will turn and make the decision for God. But the fact is, you know, we have the anointing to do many and great things, not the least of which is to obliterate the different mindsets, religious mindsets that have plagued the church for now 2,000 years. And it says, so they'll understand, the ones whose minds are renewed, is that you are sent from me and you shall be treated accordingly. I mean, even to be treated accordingly, and it's not for us to be treated in a certain way, but it's, again, the fact that people, their hearts are open to hear what God is saying and doing through us. That's what matters. In not allowing yourself to be influenced by flesh and blood in any way, you will surely expose, either by your silence or by the words which I give you to speak, the deepest thoughts and intentions of their heart. And they shall surely realize and understand their need of me in every facet of their life. Boy, isn't that wonderful? I mean, if you have a revelation of the fact that you need God in every aspect of your life, you are going to come into absolute freedom. You can't help but do that. But if people still think that somehow they're responsible for carrying out their ministry or in any area, any exercising of self-effort, they're in bondage. And they'll remain that way. And this is not the time for people to remain in bondage, because God wants to remove every ground of fear from our lives, and with the purpose of bringing us to that place of abiding in his perfect love. And we need to do that, because I believe it was a ministry letter ago, I wrote about the principle of leaven. Well, that works both ways. I mean, we can look at it positively or negatively. The negative side is that if we maintain fear, eventually that fear and darkness will consume us. But if we allow the leaven of love and the leaven of obedience and all the different forces of the kingdom to work, eventually that's going to consume us, and we will come to the place of abiding in perfect obedience. But see, now the deal's on, and people are going one way or the other. And so it doesn't matter what's left in our life for God to deal with, as long as we are diligently seeking him and pursuing first the kingdom and pursuing his perfect purpose for our life and ministry, we cannot help but be consumed by the power of his Spirit. We cannot help but be led into that place of perfect liberty in Christ, all by his power. I mean, I'm not even going to go into that. I mean, we know that self-effort, even towards holiness, is a dangerous, dangerous thing. He says, for the time has come for all of my children to put aside all that is of the flesh in order that they might walk in the power of my Spirit. That's the goal right there, to walk in the power of his Spirit. Another word, he said, my word is to be preached in this final hour in the power of resurrection and the authority of ascension. And I might add, the fullness of conviction. You see, there is going to be a great increase in the power of the word preached by his faithful servants in this final hour. And as the preaching goes forth, it is going to be preaching the cross, it's going to be preaching the resurrection, and it's going to be preaching the ascension. The ascension being Christ, being raised up to sit at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places, the place where we are called to abide in. And so as the Christian comes to the place of abiding in this place of the ascension life, then the revelation of the cross, the revelation of the resurrection, the revelation of the all authority of Christ is manifested through us in any given situation, whatever we say, whatever we do. That's what God wants the word to go forth. He's not just talking about preaching from the pulpit. That's certainly true. But everything that we do and say in this final hour. See, the great move and evangelization of this world is not coming from the pulpit. It's coming from the people in the church in the midst of the people in the world, being sent out from the place of resurrection and ascension and the presence of God, and moving with pinpoint accuracy to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. That's, again, is part of that second day hierarchy type thing where, you know, everything revolves around the pulpit. No, the pulpit's a great thing, but it's to prepare the people to go out in the practical daily experiences of life, being led by the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, to accomplish exactly what God wants to accomplish. And again, I don't really think I have to go over this too much, but we as Christians can never underestimate the importance of our obedience, even in the smallest thing. Again, I don't want to get ahead of myself on that, because I am going to be touching that at conference. But the thing is, it is important. And I mean, God can use you to speak one word, and it can set a chain of events into action that will turn your part of the world upside down, and maybe other parts. So we need to be a people who walk by the Spirit and believe in His power, because He can do all things. He just needs people who believe. In this last hour, it is only faith exercised in my word which will allow my people to survive or to overcome in the earth. Survive really comes from the Latin, and it really means to live on or above. So now, from a spiritual sense, we're talking about living above the darkness of this world. Because if you don't live above it, you're going to be consumed by it. There's no other position. Tell my people it is not a punishment for them to live by faith. Now, isn't that amazing that we as Christians, in many cases, can come into a place where faith and love and obedience seem to be the hard way? That's a lie of the devil. Because the actual truth is, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, not the way of faith. It says, tell my people it is not a punishment for them to live by faith, but rather a blessing of unlimited capacity. Ooh, that's interesting. Again, you know, I don't remember which conference it was. I think it was 2000, August. And the Lord told me to before I even started preaching, He just said, tell my people to prepare themselves to walk in that place of unlimitedness where I'm concerned. And He was talking about everything. Spirit, soul, body, and financially. And I mean, that takes some serious renewing of the mind. Because everything the devil ever sets against us is causing or is aimed at bringing us to the place where we're going to limit God in some way. Because if we're limiting God, then His power can't flow through us. And if His power can't flow through us, we're not going to be free, and we're not going to be able to be used to set others free, completely free. Again, we're aiming, as far as ministry goes, for absolute freedom, both in ourselves and for all those that God brings across our path. Not just get free from this little thing. Meanwhile, devil's got them in bondage in six other places. We're talking about absolute freedom. Because people are either going to be in absolute freedom or absolute bondage. That's the way it's going to be in this final hour. And every last person will be exactly where they end up by their own choice. Tell them to repent and turn from their wickedness. Now, he constitutes mistrust of him as wickedness. And, you know, when you study that out, you understand that we may not be able to trust any other human that walks the face of the earth. You know, I mean, I'm just saying that blatantly. But we can sure trust God. And so he constitutes that as wickedness if we do not trust in him. As a matter of fact, you'll never truly trust people until you first trusted God. Tell them to repent and turn from their wickedness that they might experience the fullness of my life. For the time has come to lay aside all dependence upon the flesh, and I might add, and flesh and blood, and submit themselves completely to my word and my word alone. Again, absolute truths. And a lot of things fall off when we're totally and wholly given to the word of God. I am only limited by the issues of the heart that is hardened against me. For it is in the Spirit that faith dwells, and it is only faith which both pleases me and activates me in the lives of my children. And it is only sin, doubt, and unbelief which can hinder my will being done in their lives. And, you know, I really believe that as we remain sensitive in our hearts towards God, we will be able to spot sin and doubt and unbelief immediately. And not only spot it, you know, not just sit there and, oh boy, I've got that. No, but actually pursue God in that place in order to be set free from it. Because it really, you know, the devil's running that stuff across us. We don't have to grab onto it and hold on to it. We need to guard our heart with all diligence and pursue God with a view to having that removed from us. So, as we do that, then, you see, again, we come into that position of walking in obedience and therefore learning in obedience what God wants to teach us. And it's like night and day. I'm not going to go into that right now, but it's far better to learn by obedience, because you know what? When you're learning in obedience, you don't have consequences to deal with. But if you do, you know, if you learn through disobedience, you're still dealing with the consequences of your sin. So it's just very important, that's all. Oh, dear. Isn't he merciful? You will never, now again, this is talking to third day people. You will never have the approval of any man who does not love me with their whole heart. Now, first of all, we're called to be a people whose hearts are wholly given. That's important. Because you see what's happened in many places, people in delegated authority haven't given their heart wholly to God, and they end up interacting with people who haven't given their heart wholly to God, and it created a whole mess. I mean, the spirit of false prophecy got into the church. I'm talking now about these personal prophecies, and everybody's running everywhere trying to get a word of personal prophecy. They wouldn't know what to do with it if it was accurate, let alone the fact that it wasn't accurate. You know, and every word of false prophecy, no matter how good it sounds or how spiritual it sounds, Satan has one purpose, and that is to lead the people of God away from the will of God. And yet, oh, I've could tell you horror stories and that, but I'm not going to. The fact is, I've seen many people moved out of the center of God's will by listening to false prophecy. But the thing is, when your heart's wholly given, you'll know it's a false prophecy. That's it. It's that simple. But that is very, very important. To realize, first of all, we shouldn't be seeking the approval of man. And I mentioned last time that as we come into that intimate relationship with the Father and His Word, we will gain a deep revelation of His approval. And in receiving that and maintaining that, you will not have a fear of man. It may try to come towards you, but you'll see it for what it is and you won't accept it. Why? Because we have this deep and inherent approval of the Father. That's a real thing. That's a real thing. I mean, part of this whole security that's formed by the approval of man is part of that false security I talked about. And it's deadly, because God is gathering the wheat and tares. And that constitutes a tare to be in that place of walking as a man pleaser instead of a God pleaser. So we need to know that. And I've seen this time and time again. I mean, you can take forth even the simplest revelation from the throne room, and people will get offended, and immediately you know that something's wrong with their heart. And yet you could say exactly the same thing to a person 5 minutes later whose heart's wholly given, and it sets off a whole different thing. But as for us, we need to never be seeking the approval of men. Don't be offended when somebody rejects what you say or what you do. Just make sure you're doing what God is having you say and do. And you'll see, God will give you understanding. And not only will you not take offense, which would render you useless in ministering to them further or believing for them further, but you will get the necessary revelation and instruction to, you know, keep your faith on that situation so they can be free. For all who walk in less than perfect obedience and seek me from less than a pure heart shall be offended by the words that you speak. Quite simply, to the degree that one has conformed themselves to my will, is to that degree that they will approve of the words that you speak. And see, it's not approving of us, it's approving of the words that God has given us through His Spirit. That's what does them good. I mean, some fool could stand up and say a whole bunch of things and people can just, you know, accept that word. But it just leads to death. It's a cycle of death that has remained in the church. God is coming to remove that.
And to the degree that they have hardened their hearts against me, it is to that degree that they will be offended and stumble at the words you speak. But whether they stumble, whether they jump for joy at the words we speak, or whether they stumble or are offended, our job is to maintain perfect love. Sometimes it gets to the point, you know, if you're spending the proper time with God, and I've been in situations where God had me say something, it almost seemed like in a casual passing type of situation, and then somebody will react. And then the next day you'll be out in prayer or something, and the Holy Spirit will bring that back to remembrance. And you'll realize that person was offended, but it didn't even affect you at the time. You just kept moving on. And that's the way we should be. We shouldn't be so self-conscious that when we hear a word, and, oh, I wonder if they accepted that. Now, that's a fool's game. And that's just all about self-glory and not about the glory of God. Again, there will be those who misunderstand you. But truly I say to you, they will pay a great price if they continue to harden their hearts against the words that you speak. And he says, fear not, only go forth, knowing that I have bestowed upon you the special anointing needed to turn even the hardest hearts towards me. That's if we'll walk in love and continue to walk in love. Go forth, and I shall confirm these words which I have spoken with great signs and wonders. Now, the important thing is here, there is going to be a time where people are no longer going to be able to literally spit in the face of Jesus Christ as the word comes forth from the throne. There's coming a time where God will judge those whose hearts are hardened towards him. And that time is very close, very close. So his word to us is to fear not. Don't worry about it. Don't be concerned about it. He has bestowed upon us the anointing, that is the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you, there are a series of what I would call special anointings. This is for individuals, just to that we might fulfill everything he created us for. And there may be more. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit, but he still keeps adding these things. And these special anointings are very, very important, because he knows exactly what we need to accomplish his perfect purpose, and he anoints us perfectly. So we have that anointing. That third day anointing will turn even the hardest hearts towards God in this last hour. But he needs a people who are pure and whose hearts are wholly given to him. I am doing a new thing in the midst of my people in this last hour. For I desire them to walk in one accord with every thought and intention of my heart. That's where, of course, one accord and unity comes from, is a revelation of his heart and his will. Therefore, as I reveal the deepest thoughts and intentions of my heart through my holy apostles and prophets, and again, everybody is not called to that office, but everybody is called to walk in that apostolic and third day prophetic anointing that will cause these things to come to pass. And reveal the deepest thoughts and intentions of the Father's heart, represent him perfectly in all that we say and do. That's the call on every last Christian on the face of this earth. The simple fact is that the fivefold ministry is just there to help bring God's people into that place so we could all walk in that one, in the unity of faith and in the spirit of obedience. You know, this isn't brain surgery. I mean, this is pretty simple. The thing is, it's the flesh that complicates spiritual things, or tries to. The fact is, when we get into the presence of the spiritual one, then these things become not only clear to us, but we see the absoluteness of God's plan. And you know, he hasn't changed. This was written many years ago. We've seen the different types and patterns from the Old Testament leading through, you know, to the New Covenant. And now we see the fullness of what God spoke concerning the glorious church moving into place, radically moving into place. So he says, therefore, as I reveal the deepest thoughts and intentions of my heart through my holy apostles and prophets, through my faithful people in total, all mental ascensions to my word, that is the traditions and doctrines of men, will be exposed. Isn't that good news? And be replaced with the pure and undefiled truth. I mean, truth will have its day, his day. And he will be revealed in his absoluteness, and people will be brought to that place of an absolute decision. As I look out upon my church, I see my people walking in various stages of unbelief, hindered by an intense desire to walk after that which is seen and perceived through the five physical senses, which indeed precludes faith in my word. See, that's the danger of walking after our five physical senses, walking in unbelief. It precludes the exercising of faith in his word. Why? Because one is faith in his word, of course, is operating, we're operating in divine faith, whereas fear leads to these other things and causes us to just lust after the things which are seen instead of the things which are revealed by God himself. As I look out upon the congregations, I see the place where each one chose the favor of men and the honor which the world bestows above my favor and honor. Now, isn't that, you know, you stop and think. Of course, I guess if people have never experienced the favor and honor of God, then that seems to be a worthy thing to be sought after. But boy, its end is death. And a person will end up on the wrong side of God doing that. Therefore, my judgments are upon them. And as I send my messengers forth, the anointing which is upon them and within them will shatter any illusions of false security found in the hearts of my people. And truly I say to you, I shall not relent or turn back until all that I desire is accomplished in the midst of my people. Therefore, brace yourselves. Remember, he gave me a word one time. He says, put on your spiritual seatbelt. And resting in my love, go forth in obedience, measuring each step in the fullness of my word, or in the absoluteness of my truth. For many great signs and wonders shall follow you in all that you say and do. You know, it just seems to me, I really hadn't thought about this much until now, but it seems to me that the signs and wonders that have been happening have been the signs and wonders on the negative side. In other words, all the activity of the organization of man and fleshly activity in the church. A lot of signs and wonders. Well, that's a negative thing. But I really believe that this is the hour that we are going to begin to see. It's almost like God has held us back to a degree. Of course, he's been doing things, obviously. But I mean, I'm talking about the signs and wonders that God wants to move for or put forth in this last hour. And it's going to catch the attention of the world. We're talking about signs and wonders that will not only confirm his word, but will absolutely reveal him in a way that he's never been able to reveal himself before because of the darkness and the unbelief in the midst of God's people and, of course, in the world. So we're going to be ready. We're going to see the signs and wonders. And as we act, we're going to be the signs and wonders in many cases. And as we act on and speak his word, he is going to confirm that word immediately. And we're going to see great power. And we're going to see the dread of the Lord upon the people. This was a couple of things just dealing with the devil. Satan is attempting to set you up for a fall. Well, we know he's been trying to do that. To every person is truly seeking God. But he will fail, and you shall walk above every one of his schemes. Two things here. Paul said, be not ignorant of his schemes. And the fact is, when we're walking that ascension life, in that place of the authority of Christ, Satan's schemes will always fall short, and we won't be ignorant of his schemes. Again, another important facet of walking in obedience is that we're going to see his schemes before they come on us and then beat our way out of it. Instead of, if we weren't walking in obedience, we'd have to beat our way out of it and then come back into obedience. And ultimately, the fullness of God's purpose is to raise up an army that will just go forth in perfect obedience and set the devil to flight and to cause him to experience that stark terror that God desires to lay on him. Well, that just comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. To Satan, the Holy Spirit equals terror. There's no other way to describe how he can't just sit there in the face of the Holy Spirit and continue his arrogant ways. And we're going to see that in this last hour. Another word for each of us, sharpen and polish your sword, for the time has come to unleash an assault upon the evil one, from which there will be no return. And again, this is this place that I've mentioned before about where as an army, we are going to come into a place of walking nonstop supernaturally until the catching away of the church. And part of that is to unleash an assault upon the evil one, from which there will be no return. Fear not, for the hand of God is mightily upon you, and you shall be victorious in all things. That's the ultimate aim. We know that's true. That's the promise of the Scripture to us. Do not fear to give Satan his due. Only speak the words which I have given you in every circumstance, and he shall flee in stark terror. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Every time you act and speak in obedience, you are inflicting spiritual pain upon the devil. Now, when people start out, they wonder if anything's happening, and the devil will hang around as long as he can, as long as there's any ground of unbelief or doubt in us, he'll hang around trying to convince you that what you're saying and doing in obedience isn't harming him at all, isn't even obedience, as a matter of fact. But I'll tell you, when you get intense with this, when you begin to proclaim the word of God day in and day out, you are inflicting spiritual pain on him, and ultimately, he will have to flee from you. And it's a lot better to deal with the devil from a long distance than have him on your back trying to beat your brains in. Here's another one. Faith always has to be expressed through words. It just does. I mean, people, you know, they write books and they debate this and debate it, but you go back to the law of beginnings, God created this earth. He said, light be. He didn't just think it. He said it. And so that pattern was established, and it's powerful. And we're having a revival in this church, I know, as far as the proclamation of the word. But I'll tell you, that's going to sweep the body of Christ, because it's important. Very, very important this last hour. And again, as we do that, we are releasing the force of faith. I'm about to unleash the fullness of my power through all those of my children who have given themselves wholly to me. And they shall enter fully into the realm of the miraculous. You know what the realm of the miraculous is? It's a realm wherein we are in position to allow God to intervene, to bring his divine empowerment into the natural realm. That's all that is. So consequently, we should be abiding in the miraculous. And we will be. It's not called a glorious church for nothing. Could be called a miraculous church. For they have transcended both time and space and will no longer be held in any way by the temporal realm, thus enabling them to carry out my will and allow me to cause great signs and wonders and miracles to come to pass through them. Hold fast, my beloved ones, even though at first these things I have said to you, as they manifest themselves in the physical realm, may seem like a dream. Remember the scripture about Zion? It says, at first, these things seem like a dream. And, you know, it will. Now, that's not a cause us to get into some lethargic state or dreamlike state in the natural. It's just like awe of his what he's said he would do and what he's doing. And I've said this before, too. We need to be a people who are acclimatized to his presence so that we're not paralyzed by the things that God is doing. That you know, we could just stand there, and he's acclimatizing us for the things he's doing, because if he did what he wanted to do many years ago, there would have been a lot of deaths in the church. The simple logistics of the situation is that God needs a true environment to come into in his fullness. And of course, he knows what that is. We're talking about Almighty God here. We're not talking about a little touch of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the fullness of his presence. So he is preparing us for that. And we will be prepared. And even though it seems like a dream, we will just continue to walk in obedience. So it says, it may seem like a dream. I'll go here. It says, and those with you, you and those with you, shall surely turn the world upside down wherever you walk. Wherever you walk in obedience to God. Another word, all. Brady's not here, but he'll appreciate that word. All frustration in the child of God is the direct product of their disobedience. Well, I can certainly attest to that. When frustration starts to come on me, I know immediately it's because of disobedience. So I stop. Now, it shouldn't come to that. I mean, it's like a prolonged disobedience. I don't mean you're going to get frustrated if you do one thing wrong. But if you maintain fear, and if you maintain a position of disobedience, ultimately it will lead to spiritual frustration. Well, we know the world gets frustrated. There are frustration going somewhere to happen. But as far as us, we know that if we sense frustration in anything, we need to go into the presence of the Lord, find out what we've been holding on to as far as disobedience goes, get that cleared away, and the frustration will go. That's the first stage of the devil's wearing down tactics. If that's maintained, then the next thing you know, you got discouragement, then you got disappointment, you got a lot of things. Again, all disappointment is from the place of a misplaced faith. And so it's a cycle, but that's why when frustration starts to come in, we need to deal with that, be obedient in that area, the frustration will depart, we will again have that clear revelation of God's will, and then our faith won't be misplaced, then we won't get discouraged, and then we won't get disheartened. No, no miscalculation of man can ever prove God a liar. Again, you know, all the different lies and the different mental ascensions that people have against the Word of God, or, you know, our part in doing the will of God, God will vindicate us. Our job is to find out what God is saying and would have us do and do it, knowing that He is our vindication. The more revealed knowledge one receives, the more responsibility one has to use that knowledge correctly. And I think one of the chief things, one of the important things is that we should have a desire to walk in all the light that we have. Because if you walk in all the light that you have continually, that light will continually expand in your life and in your ministry. I mean, it's like a lot of times we get caught in the trap of saying, oh Lord, you know, what about this? What about that? But we're not, you know, maintaining properly the light He's already given us. I'm not going to go into that. Sometimes it seems ridiculous when you look back and see how many times you had to go around the mountain on some of these things. But God is faithful. And fortunately in this hour, as the absolute truth is revealed, people will be able to step in and have a lot of these hindrances dropped off of them. So we do have a responsibility to use the knowledge correctly. And that's important. This is a time of great revelation and wisdom and the counsel of God coming forth. We will not be a people who have trouble walking in perfect obedience or walking that pinpoint accuracy I've talked about. Okay, same idea. One cannot perceive how ignorant they are, or unknowing, in their darkness until they step into the light. Now, I'm talking now about deception. I've had so many experiences with this. I mean, you get into a situation, and you're doing okay for a while, but you let something slip. So you get a little bit of darkness gets in there, and you think, oh well, okay, I'm not doing too bad. And then at some point you realize frustration sets in. Probably some you realize that okay, something's not right. You step into the presence of God, and you go, all that stuff happened. I said all that stuff, and I thought I was doing the right thing. Boy, so it's just important to stay in the light and stay in the presence of God, and then you don't ever get into that trap. Again, it's better to learn from the position of obedience than disobedience. But God is faithful either way. Constant and abiding fellowship in the presence of God will cause the spirit of the one in fellowship to be steadily built up and charged with power. Now again, there are times when we go into the presence of God and we can... I mean, you are conscious of that thing happening. You can feel, spiritually speaking, that spiritual transaction happening. There are times when you set yourself in God's presence and He seems silent and nothing seems to be happening. But I'm telling you, there is a transaction. You cannot come into the presence of God, whether you feel it or not, without having an eternal transaction take place. That's the truth. Again, this is why God is raising us up to be a people who walk by faith and not by sight. This whole thing about being moved by what we feel and hear and see and think, that's no longer can be a viable position. It never was, but I mean, it can't be an acceptable position. That's very important. So we know by faith that we are steadily built up and charged with power. And of course, praying in the Spirit along the same lines. There are times when you can go out and pray in the Spirit and you're getting nothing. But you're praying in the Spirit with your teeth gritted, practically. The fact is, these things are in motion. And as they avoid the sin of presumption, or rebellion, the time will surely come when that power will be manifested to its absolute degree to accomplish the very thing that God had intended all along. In other words, as we're faithful, regardless of what happens, whether we hit the heights of ecstasy or whether we feel nothing, everything that God imparts to us will ultimately fulfill his perfect purpose, and his perfect power will be released. That's the absolute truth. We're going to see that in this hour, for sure. It is a time of steadfastness for my handmaidens and bondservants. For as they have diligently prepared themselves, I shall surely bring each and every one of them to the forefront of my church by my great and awesome power. Notice by his power. How many people now are trying to get to the forefront on their own power? And I shall leave no stone unturned, and they shall rule and govern my people with the vastness of my wisdom and knowledge. And men will fear and dread the awesome power and light which emanates from them. We're talking divine government now. We're talking about God ruling in the midst of his people. This is spiritual reality I'm talking about. Doesn't matter what it looks like now. God is going to do what he said. Do not even consider, my beloved ones, any aspect of the soulish realm, for surely, that means he's talking now about the things that are going on apart from the Spirit in the church. For surely no flesh shall glory in the presence of Almighty God. Another absolute truth. And you shall see, and we're that presence that God is raising up, the true spiritual environments throughout the church. We're, the presence is the church. And that's why up until this time, you know, God has sent these arrogant, impudent demons, you know, to work through people and just try and disrupt the whole order of God's plan. But it's not going to happen. There has to come a day where the power of God is greater than the church, than the power of the soulish realm and the devil working through that in people. Boy. I'll tell you, if there wasn't, every one of us would have the right, as soon as we were born again, to request heaven. Because it would be pointless to stay here. But it's not pointless. And the devil's going to get his, big time. And he says, and you shall soon see that every word that you speak will transcend the soulish realm and cause the kingdom of heaven to be presented clearly before all who cross your path. What else could we ask for? I'm just going to touch on this. I'll probably come back to this next time. He says, as you are obedient to even the smallest details of my will, you shall cause the big things to come to pass. Now, I don't have time to go into this in the depth I'd like to, but I'll come back to it the next time. But the fact is, another kingdom principle, be faithful in the small things. The big things will take care of themselves. It's the eyes of the flesh that keep their eyes on the big things. Oh, Lord, if you just gave me this thing to do, I know I'd be obedient then. No, you wouldn't. Believe me, I've tried that for 20 years. It doesn't work. Yeah. No. As we're faithful in this, and it takes sensitivity of heart, and it takes closeness to the Father and his word to be faithful in the little things. Because, you know, the flesh just wants to bypass the little things. No, we want something big. No, we're going to be a people who are faithful in the smallest details. I'll expand on that more the next time. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just thank and praise you, Father, for all the tremendous things you've done in our lives, both individually and corporately. And we thank you, Father, that we are a people who are prepared to receive your unlimitedness. And we just give you all the glory and praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.